Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, and welcome once again to Mindful Living in the Adirondack Alps. This is Kathy Hohmeyer coming to you again from the beautiful Adirondacks and the Lake Clear Lodge and Retreat, which is our small resort here in the Adirondack Mountains. If you haven't visited the Adirondacks, you really need to do so because this show is really about why and some really great healing. The Adirondacks is actually known as the Healing Woods. And today we have Debbie Havis, who really is a, and I'm sure Dan has called you this, Debbie, the modern day Martha Rebin of the Adirondacks.
I haven't heard that yet.
Well, for those of you know, Martha Rebin, this whole area was kind of formed by healing. It really was a healing community when TB started. It was a healing community, and actually Lake Clear started as one, and the Lake Clear Lodge actually started as a TB center, as with many areas in the Adirondacks. And then Saranac Lake actually was built up to be more of that. They had the more concentrated areas there. And Saranac Lake, which is 8 miles from Lake Clear near Lake Placid, for those who don't know where we are exactly, it's called the Healing Woods, and it was really grown to be a healing community. And Martha Rebin was a woman who came up and summered in, she had TB, and she summered in the Adirondacks and had a guide take her out into the woods to heal her TB. And that's out there. It's Martha Rebin. But Debbie Havis is somebody who has written about her journey to wholeness and to wellness. She's written 2 books. I have both of them here in front of me. The first one is My Journey to Wholeness, Nature and a Healing Presence Restored Her. And the second is A Gentle Path of Healing, Encountering Nature's Wisdom and Curative Energy. So hi, Debbie.
Hi, Kathy.
I was just going to read a couple of things off the back of the first book and then have you introduce how you even came to writing this. And I think that by reading the back, we'll give you a quick bio. You can certainly add anything in there that listeners might be interested in, and then we'll chat from there.
Okay.
So off the back cover of her book, My Journey to Wholeness, says Debbie Havis learned at 38 her chronic pain and exhaustion were a result of multiple sclerosis, a devastating diagnosis for a wife and mother of 2 girls. Hers is not like any other story, struggle, and darkness, however. It's a story filled with brilliant insights into the deeper emotional and spiritual triggers of illness and disease. In a quest for healing, Debbie began by returning to nature, where she had always found consolation in the beauty surrounding her. In the safety and quiet of a northern forest, she slowly excavated her traumatic past and found a way to release the energetic scars left on her psyche. Accompany this courageous woman on her journey as she faces personal choices that free her from the past and speed her ahead on a path of healing. My Journey to Wholeness will lift your spirit, touch your heart, and shift your life in new directions. And I want to say just a message to my folks. I have been working with many, many folks around the world in the last, over a year now. And I want to say that if you're listening, guys, you should really read this book. We know we're all on a journey. And this is just really, like it says, uplifting. To continue on your journey, we always need a little bit of confidence, a little bit of, push or support really along the way. And this book is wonderfully written. It's easy reading and it is uplifting. So Debbie, so how did you come to get into writing?
Well, that started a long time ago. Actually, mm-hmm. back in fourth grade, I was introduced to poetry and I fell in love with it. I started reading it, writing it, whatever, and that just continued throughout my school years. I found I always got better grades when I wrote an essay, did a written project. I didn't do as well with the true false and fill in the blanks. But the writing was always something. And a dream appeared in my mind, and it was to write a book someday myself. So I kind of put that dream aside. And then entered teaching, and after teaching, I retired And I noticed a free workshop being given on publishing and self-publishing by David Hazard in a little town nearby. So I went to it. And he was giving a writing sojourn that fall in the same little town. So I said, why not? So I signed up for it and went, and that's when this first book was born. So I've been working with him throughout my writing experience now. This first book was, well, it's a memoir of part of my life, and there are flashbacks to my childhood traumas that I experienced. And I think we all have traumas in our childhood, not the same ones, for sure. And what is your trauma may not be my trauma, but we do have them as a child, what really seemed to affect us, and we can remember them today. We can recall them. So I found that as I started to heal those childhood traumas, my symptoms of multiple sclerosis improved. And there was that emotional mind-body connection was so evident. I would go to my physical doctor and he'd say, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's working. Mm-hmm. And it was. And it has continued to do that. I particularly needed to heal some relationships with my parents. And I held on to this anger and resentment and hatred all my life, all through my adult life. So here I was retired. And both my parents had passed away. But they had not been healed while they were still alive. So I had a lot on my plate to tackle. Relationship with my dad, he wasn't a very kind, affectionate person, and it came through so much, and that's a lot of my story. I think I attributed maybe 4 chapters in that book to healing with my mom and my dad in particular. I'd like to read a poem that I wrote about that at one point.
So many of us have. I mean, our family is our lesson teachers, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can relate to, having to heal relationships, either things that didn't go, quite right, or, lots of forgiveness and different things that through both our our years and our family relationships years, it's very interesting. I think that I don't think anybody's immune to that one.
No, we're all human. I think that's part of it all, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of my healings occurred while I was taking a walk in nature, sitting by a stream. Nature was always there when I felt like that relationship had begun to be healed. It doesn't happen overnight, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It does take time. With my dad, here is a poem I wrote. With pen in hand, I began to write, silence, silence. So much to say, so much to hear. Silence. Did you catch it? Did I speak? Silence. Did you understand? How do I say it? Silence. Surely you must know. Of course you do. Silence. Silence is that which goes unspoken, words of the heart so often hidden, yet caring, sharing, deep, deep down. Fear, risk, acceptance, rejection. Neither you nor I shall wear the crown. I had said it all, the price Dad and I had paid for silence. We couldn't get those years back. They were lost to us. But we could begin right then to have a special relationship. Since you have passed on, it will be a challenge for us both, I thought. But I believe anything is possible.
Yeah, I actually found the page while you were reading. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same thing. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I feel the same thing with my mom. We didn't have a bad relationship, but it wasn't great in the last few years of her life. And after she passed, I almost felt closer, almost felt like I had her back.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It is interesting.
And you don't have to give up just because somebody's passed away. You don't have to give up on the relationship either for yourself.
I found what helped me so much was that I was blessed with being able to, at one point, put myself in his moccasins, so to speak, Native American, and see what his life was kind of like at that same time, with his disappointments, discouragements, and financial crises, and all that you don't realize as a little child. But once I could do that, it was like, wow, I began to understand as an adult, you know, how those things happened that occurred, as I explained in the book. Yes, that was amazing.
So you started, I mean, you live up here, and you were, when did you decide, I am going to go on this path, I'm not going to be, I think I saw a phrase in here earlier I meant to tag, and it said, I decided not to be a victim.
Yes. I really could not tell you exactly when I decided that, but it was like I could see people around me who were poor me, you know, feel sorry for me. I've got this, I've done that, all this sympathy that they wanted, and if for some reason I did not want sympathy. I found I needed empathy, but not the sympathy. So I myself am more empathic. I tend to feel what another's feeling. If you're crying, I'll probably cry right along, and I don't even know the issue. That's the kind of person I am. So, yes, I was not going to be a victim, and I've just, you know, throughout time noticed people who I felt were allowing themselves to be victimized. It's a choice we make, and I chose not to allow myself to become a victim of my disease.
So,
yes.
So you started going out in, you know, basically outside our door here is just wonderful, and started, did you consciously start to say, you know, I'm going to, you know, connect with nature and look for healing, or did it kind of evolve as you went along?
It seemed to evolve as I went along. I've always, since I was a child, loved to be outside. In my family, we weren't allowed to have friends over, and we weren't allowed to go play at somebody's house. You saw your friends at school. So my playground was nature, and I would go out as soon as I got home from school, and I would watch the birds, and I would follow the birds, and I would turn over rocks and see what was underneath and watch, you know, look at the mushrooms that were growing. And that was my world. And so when I wrote my poems in elementary school, I had a rock that I would go to out in the woods, and I would sit on a rock and write my poems. When I was upset, I went to nature. You know, when I was hurt by something that had happened, whether in school or in the home, I would go out in nature. She always seemed to, I say she because I think of Mother Nature, she always seemed to give comfort to me, and I would always feel better when I came back inside. So that's how I got connected with nature, and it just seemed to, it became part of my life all the way up through, even in college years, and I would just go out to nature to try to figure things out. Yes, as adolescents, we're always in a quandary about our things and our identity and all that, and I would just go out to nature.
And I think these days that's a little bit of something that's missing. I grew up that too, and now there's so many areas inside that you can get stuck inside and having to-dos, and you know, you feel like you're getting out to the world maybe on a computer. But, I mean, we all kind of know that, but there's nothing like actually being the experiential part of being in nature. And that's what we actually try and provide here. I was looking at Debbie's books, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is, these are the exact reasons why people need to come, you know, to the Adirondacks, you know, hopefully to my Lake Clear Lodge. But this is exactly why, you know, they need to actually get outside, even if it's a patch of grass or a plant, you know. So I was really happy to. I do have Debbie's books here at the lodge, and you can get them at different places around. And while we're at that, Debbie, while we're still chatting, where could somebody find your books if they were interested?
In the Adirondacks, any place that sells books, bookstores, of course, here.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon.com carries my book.
Okay.
So that would be
okay.
a place for people who aren't here in this area
mm-hmm.
to be able
mm-hmm.
to get them. Yes, Amazon.com.
Okay. Didn't want to leave that to the end. If people are looking, they can actually even look it up while they're listening.
While we're
to
doing.
Us too, if they're there. Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
And on Amazon, going by the title of the books will seem to draw both of the books up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So Debbie Havas. Havas is H A. I'll just spell your last name. H A V A S is Havas, and the first book is My Journey to Wholeness. And the second book, which you may or may not talk about today, we may save it for later, depending on timing, is A Gentle Path of Healing. So I just wanted to mention that so people know how to get that. So, Debbie, after did we skip any steps or after did you start writing the book? It was a journey as you went through your journey, or did you write the book kind of as an, you know, after you went through a couple of years of healing?
Okay. What happened was in my young adult life and all, I started journaling. So I journaled not about where I went or who I saw. I journaled about my feelings about something
mm-hmm.
that had happened.
Okay.
So when I was diagnosed with the multiple sclerosis, I started a journal every day. The others weren't daily. They were now and then. So every
mm-hmm.
day I journaled about what I was feeling, what my symptoms were, what I was going through, my reactions to people who said what, that kind of thing. And so I had kept all those journals. So when I finally got to retirement and said, okay, I am writing this book, I had all my journals as resources to go back to. So I plucked parts from my journals. And I used to write my father. He never got the letters because he had passed away, but
mm-hmm.
I had written in my journals these letters to him. So I had those as my resources, and it was amazing to go back and reread them after so many years and re-experience the pain, the agony, as if it was happening that day. That really
mm-hmm.
surprised me. But I also realized that by doing that, if we can actually relive a hurtful memory, that is so important in the healing process, because then it seemed like the hurt, the anger, the sadness kind of dissipated. And I didn't experience that anymore. I could remember the memory of what happened, but it didn't upset me anymore, which
mm-hmm.
to me said that memory had healed and that hurt
mm-hmm.
had healed in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm currently, as we're taping this, I'm currently have some folks in my program that I call the biocodes. And there's actually, and this again, your first book is a perfect example of it's there's the science out there that you don't see much, but it is there. I call them the biocodes that your emotions actually trigger your biological, physical responses in your body. And, you know, when you say it, it's not so alarming, but they can actually be identified. Certain feelings will react in the brain, which reacts to that, depending on how you took the situation. It would react in the part of your brain that would correlate to the part of your body. And that's the program that I'm doing right now. We're taking a look at that and doing basically, you know, the program is like you, what feelings happened when, you know, different things did, and we target it different for everybody. But it's interesting because you don't need to go through a biocode program. People, you know, intuitively know if they say, I'm not going to be a victim, then they start seeing, okay, what in my past or what in my psyche or what is trapped there that we need to release so the body can actually heal itself, because it's truly a natural healing mechanism. We just let some of the glitches and trapped emotions, which are energetic packets, form our body. So this is a beautiful, beautiful story of how to do that too.
Yes. Well, I encountered some, when I look back on it, some things that surprised me as far as when I was finished with the whole manuscript. I guess I would recommend to anybody, everybody, if you can, write a memoir. Don't have to have it published, but write down all the things you can remember from childhood on, hurts, joys, all of it. It is an extremely healing experience to do that. Even though my MS has not been active for many, many years, I was surprised how some things still had not quite healed until I was through the manuscript. So that was an amazing thing to me. I realized that I could see a pattern of dysfunction that went back generations, so that my mother felt worthless as a person. I could see that now. And somehow I carried that feeling on, even though I'd accomplished different things and I'd gone to college, I had a degree, mm-hmm. I had a teaching job, but I still had that feeling deep inside of being worthless, you know, and self-driven. I had to finish something I started. I couldn't just let it go. And not being satisfied with something that you did, with a task. With a picture you drew, you weren't satisfied. It could never be good enough. And I think that kind of came through from my father, because he never, that I recall, ever like had a word of praise for his children. So it was always, you can do better. You know, that 95 isn't good enough. It's got to be 100. And this kind of thing. So you keep working to please your parents, but yet if they never say, great job, you never reach that mm-hmm. point mm-hmm. where you're satisfied. Yeah. That is amazing to me that it can carry on through all your adult years too. And I still struggle to some degree with that. And I can see it though now. What I'm doing is like, okay, I can choose my choice mm-hmm. not to let this affect me. No?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So much is choice. Yes.
Your whole journey has been the awareness, so that, right, when you
yes.
see that come up, you can stop it before it really affects you internally more.
That's definitely true. Definitely mm-hmm. true. Definitely mm-hmm. true. Something else I realized is I began to like my name. My first name is Deborah, and I just never liked it. And they would, you know, mention your name in school, call roll or whatever. They'd say your full name. And it was like, I'd get this little cringe each time. Deborah. Well, by the time I was done with this manuscript, I loved my name. I mean, I love writing my name. It was just an amazing emotional transition for me to then realize, you know, I never liked it. I never liked it. But now I do. Very interesting, just very interesting results.
Yeah, that's super. Yeah, you start with self, right? I mean, even if it's in the name of self, that's very true.
Yes.
That's really interesting. Yep.
That was a big one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And I do want to do a second one, Debbie, and talk about your second book, because has some such beautiful, I mean, chapter to chapter is just such beautiful. I'm glad we just got to do kind of an intro into your journey, like I said, your journey. And so definitely recommend journaling, even, like you said,
yes.
even if it doesn't turn into a book, journal, remember. Think of the,
yes.
and not, like you said, not necessarily what you did or who you saw, but the feelings that you had while you were there, correct?
Definitely, yes. I strongly recommend the emotional side, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I always found okay. that if I wrote feelings down, like I was upset, so I journaled, it put it outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I cried when I wrote it, or I was angry or whatever, but it was out there. It no longer was as strong within me, and that process was very healing in itself. It was a step towards the final healing of whatever I was upset about. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, and like I said, very so much correlates with the folks that work with me and work with others on their journey. You know, finding energetically as well as just like you said. You know, on your own, you can find these, and just giving it the time, really.
Yeah.
Honoring your own time to reflect on this so that you can, your health can improve. And your body, like I said, is a self-healing mechanism. You just need to kind of get out of its way and get those all those thoughts and feelings and energy patterns that kind of got in its way of functioning.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, anything, we've got a few minutes left. Anything you want to say to close out this this episode?
This episode. Well, only probably that when I was done with this manuscript, there was so much more I wanted to say about nature, which is what sparked the second book. I've got to write more because I'm not done with her healing energies. So that's what led to A Gentle Path of Healing.
Right. And so, your first book is more about the journey getting you into that. And then the second book is beautifully done and talks about everything from grounding, which people may or may not be aware of, but definitely the healing energies of nature and basically kind of how to find them if you haven't found them for yourself.
Yes.
So that's beautiful. And, sneak peek on a third book that we don't know what that is yet. So that's awesome.
Yes, that's, I'm finishing that one up. yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So once again, we're here with Debbie Havas. She has written two books and working on a third. First book is My Journey to Wholeness. I highly recommend it for those of you on a conscious journey, or if you're not consciously on a journey of that, this will actually help you along. And then the second book, which we'll talk about in a future episode very soon, A Gentle Path of Healing. Like I said, and the colors are gorgeous on this book. It's very beautiful. And I looked at it and I thought, the perfect example of why everybody should come here, why we say on our website, come and relax and rejuvenate, and what the woods has to offer and what nature herself has to offer. So beautifully done. So we definitely congratulate you. We've got a couple minutes, so I'm going to read a couple of the accolades on the back of the first book to kind of close out. This is with Dan Sullivan, who is part of our Adirondack Wellness practitioners here in the Adirondacks. He's a licensed massage therapist as well as a zero balancing. I check him out, and we'll give you a little plug here, Dan. He does massages on a pontoon boat, so check that out if you're in the Adirondacks. It's awesome. And Dan says, professionally, I feel people's tension in muscles and bones. The disharmony can be an amalgam of beliefs and life's experience. Debbie's rare insights will lead others to wholeness. Thank you for sharing your gift of healing with the world. Dan Sullivan. And then there's another one on the back from Lynn Edmonds, who's a life coach and labyrinth facilitator. Interesting. We do have a large labyrinth here that I put out on the grounds every once in a while. So Lynn says, an open, honest, insightful look at the healing journey. Debbie addresses these questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to learn from this? In sharing her story, she provides guidance and support for fellow seekers. Yeah, and really that's true. I think it's a real support for fellow seekers who feel alone out there. I know a lot of folks, I see a lot of folks in the forums, on my forums, on others, and a lot of people feel alone out there. And this is, highly recommend Debbie's book, and we will do a second episode all about the healing powers of nature from Debbie's eyes in A Gentle Path of Healing. So thank you, Debbie, for coming on today.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been wonderful.
Okay. And we will set aside an episode time to do the second book. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I will put contacts in if you're online and see this. That will be on the episode. It'll be my website where you can contact me if you want to contact Debbie. I can tell her that you inquired, and we can get back to you. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.